It's time for your pet's health, brought to you by Pet Docs Veterinary Hospital in Moorhead City. Pet Docs, your other family doctor.
And as always, if you'd like to call in with your questions about your pet's health, you do so now.
Call me at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
And Dr. Todd Arell is with us this morning. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, Ben.
What are we talking about today?
Well, I wanted to talk about a recall expansion. Mm-hmm. A couple weeks ago, maybe, we talked about a recall from the company United Pet Group, which was related to these about three or four different types of dog chews, rawhide chews.
Right.
That had they had found some quaternary ammonia compounds. These are disinfectants, cleaning agents that had were gotten into the manufacturing process. These were coming out of Mexico, Brazil, Colombia.
That's right. Things that were not used in the U.S., right?
Exactly.
And, yeah.
Not, at least not in food products.
Yes, and, right. Not in food products.
And there were a few dogs that had gotten, you know, some mild gastrointestinal symptoms, nothing serious, but they've expanded this recall, as tends to happen with these, to a number of other brands or sort of sub-brand names that they use. Dentley's, which is a popular one. Enzadent, which is another popular one. Exer Hides, Priority Pet. So there are a number of these. What I would suggest people do is if they use these, or even if they don't know the names of them, look at the packaging, go on the FDA website, or you can just do a search for rawhide recall,
right.
United Pet Group, and you'll find the different lot numbers. They have lot codes and then expirations.
Widely distributed?
These are all pretty widely distributed, yeah. And again, there have been some reports of dogs getting ill, nothing serious. There have also been reports of people opening the packages and saying that they have sort of an unusual smell to them.
Yeah, from those cleaning materials.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you've experienced that when you've opened your, you know, your dog's rawhides or treats, trust your instinct there and double check against the list of these different products. But yeah, they're all out there, pretty widely distributed.
Well, it brings up two things, actually. It made me think about it. You know, we had a recall yesterday of a company in western part of the state over beef, over this certified Angus beef thing. Had styrofoam bits in it.
Yeah.
But I remember my dog, I think it was the beagle that we had, chewing on a styrofoam box. Is that
styrofoam's usually pretty inert and pretty harmless in small pieces, of course.
Right.
The biggest problem I would imagine there would be if they sort of swallowed a large chunk of it. But fortunately, I don't think that happens very often. Styrofoam, at least, you know, doesn't have any innate taste.
Right. Doesn't expand or anything like that?
No, it doesn't tend to, no. So, and a lot of it now is sort of easily broken down, you know, in liquid. It just sort of dissolves a little bit. So, and there are different types, and I'm not
sure.
But yeah, that would be a concern.
And the other ancillary story actually happened in Durham yesterday when all these kids were got sick in a pool, and there were cleaning materials.
Exactly. So. Yeah. Yeah. And again, these things, these cleaning materials, usually, although in that situation it was the hypochlorite, which is can be dangerous, but you know, with this particular cleaning material, you know, unless it were consumed in very large amounts, is not going to be deadly, but definitely can cause. I mean, these are symptoms that people would call us about.
You know,
they might bring their pets in for.
Yeah.
You know, and they might need to be treated for gastrointestinal issues. So, definitely something to be aware of.
Okay. All right. What else for us?
The other thing I want to mention is a number of the big veterinary organizations, the American Veterinary Medical Association, Association of Feline Practitioners, have been doing some work, research, studies, compiled all this information about when the best time is to get cats neutered or spayed, so males or females. And what they've concluded, and they're starting to push this sort of agenda, so to speak, is having them fixed by five months of age. Now, that's not very far off what most veterinarians have been recommending. We've known for a long time that, of course, with cats, we have a serious overpopulation issue in most places. So one of the driving forces behind this is to try and sort of put a dent in that, you know, overwhelming overpopulation issue that we see not just in our communities, but our shelters, you know, that sort of thing. So that's one of the driving forces. Another one are some health issues that we're trying to avoid. The most most common, of course, would be reproductive issues, mm-hmm. breast cancer later in life, mm-hmm. that in cats is almost always malignant. So we're trying to address those issues and behavioral issues that
right.
can come when cats hit puberty and either male or female. So this fixing by 5 months is an effort to try and get that into sort of the day-to-day thought process of cat owners and veterinarians. We've known for a long time that cats can be neutered and spayed as early as 6 weeks of mm-hmm. age, and there's absolutely no scientific evidence that doing it even that early has any complications later on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things people will often ask, well, is it safe to do it that early? Is that going to affect, you know, this or that when they get older? And the answer is no. There's no evidence.
Does the timing work out? Say you get a kitten from a litter, and mm-hmm. does the timing work out that your first visit to the vet could also include that?
Usually not. Mm-hmm. Usually most kittens are coming to us 6 to 8 weeks of age.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're usually the way it usually works out is that they're going to get a series, usually three, let's say, sets of vaccines, basic mm-hmm. core vaccinations, including rabies. And those are going to happen usually every 3 weeks, and that's going to kind of culminate at about 14 weeks, give or take a few weeks. And usually at that visit, what we'll do is we'll go ahead and set up the appointment for the spay or the neuter in another month or, mm-hmm. or so. That's usually the way it works timing-wise for folks.
I'm just curious about that. All right, we have Patsy in Havelock with a question for us. Hi, Patsy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is not about a cat. This is I was wondering, do you think that there's any benefit to having acupuncture done on a dog that has nerve damage?
Nerve damage. What do you know why the nerve damage? Anything caused that?
Yes. When he was a puppy, he jumped and landed on his leg wrong,
mm-hmm.
and it damaged some nerves. Yeah. And I've had him to an orthopedic doctor, but there's not much you can
right,
do for
right.
him.
Right.
So trauma.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So the answer to I'm probably not going to give you a very satisfying answer here because, honestly, we just don't know a lot about it. You know, coming from sort of a scientific or evidence-based perspective, mm-hmm. you know, we like to have controlled studies where mm-hmm. we have, you know, controlled groups and, you know, the patients that are getting a certain treatment. It's hard to say, but what I will tell you is this. Obviously, there's a lot for a long time. Acupuncture has been used in people as well as in dogs and cats, and there certainly is a lot of anecdotal mm-hmm. evidence. In other words, people saying that it helps their pets with you know from
right.
acupuncture. Nerve damage probably would be one of those. It would be sort of under the umbrella of acupuncture mm-hmm. can probably help with this. It's just one of those things that's really hard for us to say if you will get a result for your particular situation or not. It certainly doesn't appear to have any, not that I've ever heard, any negative effects or any downside to
it. So it can't hurt.
It can't hurt, exactly. It can't
yeah.
hurt. And I have had some patients that have gone and had acupuncture done for various orthopedic issues and have reported to me some very good results. So I keep an open mind about it. I just mm-hmm. I can't really give a recommendation based on anything that we know is solid fact.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I am looking into it.
Sure.
Anything to help him get some relief. And I've heard a lot of good things about it. And
right.
I just sort of wanted a second opinion.
Maybe worth it for you. Thank you, Patsy. I will have more to come here in just a moment on Your Pet's Health with Dr. Todd Arell. The number 800-818-2255, 247-7282, 353-4674, if you'd like to join us. Hey, welcome back here at Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240. And thanks for joining us here today. And, we don't talk about this, but there are alternative medicines for pets. You know,
there are.
Therapies.
And there is a growing sort of field of people that specialize in that, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
Here again, the problem that we have, if you come at it from a scientific point of view, is we just don't have either the standardization of what these products actually are, mm-hmm. you know, for sort of spices and herbs and things like that. And there's just not, has not so far been a lot of research on these as far as what they actually do. Mm-hmm. So, but there are people out there that are working with that, let's say, you know, yeah. trying to use that for different ailments.
And unlike people who can mm-hmm. maybe be able to report
right.
something.
It gets hard because it's all through the filter of
the owner.
The owner.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right. What else, Ted?
I just wanted to quickly mention as a reminder, we don't talk about this often, but dogs in the back of trucks, dogs in truck beds, not a good idea. Okay.
We were following one yesterday, on Tuesday, that was running back and forth mm-hmm. as he's going over the high-rise
sure.
bridge. And just I stayed back because I was worried about yeah. him coming out.
Well, we had one come into the office yesterday, jumped out and had injured itself and mm-hmm. is doing fine now. But just to remind people, you know, and people will tell, this is one of those sort of file it under old habits, die hard. Mm-hmm. people tell me, you know, they know the dog, dog's not going to jump, you know, that sort of thing. It happens. Mm-hmm. You know, we hope that it doesn't happen to your pet, but it does happen. They can have serious injuries. They can break legs. If you have to take your dog with you and you drive a truck and they need to be and they can't be in the cab, put them in a crate.
Right.
Use ratchet straps.
Not on a leash.
You know, ratchet strap that crate down so it doesn't slide around or fall out if you happen to get in a wreck. You know, it's one of those things you see it a lot, but it's not a good idea.
Find out more about your pet's health at 240-3885 to make an appointment. Go online at petdocs.com, PETDOCKS.com, and download the Pet Docs app for your phone from Pet Docs Veterinary Hospital.